Scripture reading for today's service is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled upon underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we commit Pastor Joel into your hands as he brings your word to us this morning. We ask, O Lord, that you speak through him. Let him bring your word without fear or favor. We pray, O Lord, that the words of his mouth, the meditations of our heart, be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's happening here this morning. And welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. I want to welcome my two brothers from the Fiji Islands, serving the crown. And we're really proud of you and everyone who's serving in the military or had served in the military. We want to honor you in all that you have given in your service. Amen. So this not just go only to these guys. If you are here or serve in your country in whatever way, in the military, we want to give you a big hand. Yeah, let's give them a big hand. Thank you for your service. I'm going to try to switch technology here. And for all those of you who are here this morning, thank you for coming. Right. This year we begin with a very important challenge, and that is focusing our eyes on Jesus. Focusing our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith. This year also we begin by submitting a challenge, a word of encouragement to all of us to continue to pursue and pray for breakthrough for your own life, for your own situation, for the situation around you, for your family, and for what's going on in the community, that we are a church that are here for a reason. Amen? We are a purpose-driven church. So when you come here to SAC, You immerse yourself in the vision and the heart of God for why we exist as a church. Amen? And we are here. This is your home. This is a family to many. And if you're here, you are not a member, I would fully encourage and endorse this incredible family for you to be part of. Amen. And for you, sister from Ghana, Sister Comfort, welcome. It's so wonderful to see you here. Our Indonesian friends, some are here, some have got. You know, I talked to Sugianto the other day. What a joy. You know, there are some members here who have been dispersed in their work. They're right in the north, the border of Russia and Norway, you know, and simple, ordinary people, but yet who have a purpose and have a biblical view of their profession and their career. So I talked to them on the phone, and they're doing well, and they're doing fine. And they're slowly finding their place. And for us who are still praying and believing in God for breakthrough, you are not alone. Amen? The church is with you 100%. And we are here for each other, not 50% or 20%, not depend on our emotion. We are a church, and we are going to walk together all the way. Amen? All the way. Let me read to you from our scripture today. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are also light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father that is in heaven. Amen. And the more we read this, the more the word itself challenges us. It asks us the questions, how salty are you and how bright is your light? And the word of God many times we pick the things that feels good, makes us feel good. I've done that before. Have you done that before? That we will find the scripture, something that makes me feel good and give me a smile. But when we come across a passage, a word of God that challenges us, we try to turn to the next page. Yeah? See, the word of God, let me just encourage us. No matter how hard it is there to give life to us. Amen? It brings us, it realigns us on the right track. The influence of world on Christians and light, salt and light. There's so many things going on around the world today. And many Christians are putting a lot of emphasis on this passage. In being salt and light, it seems like a growing emphasis, focus on our social action. But salt and light, however, in both cases, is not just saying anything or doing something. It is very important for us to know this. To be salt and light is not just words and action. It's about being totally different. Amen? Being different. The influence of Christians in our society depends on two things: being distinct or identical to the world that we live in. And the context here on the Sermon on the Mount, it's a beautiful thing. See? Matthew is not only writing to the Jews, that is the purpose of his writing, but he's also writing to the Christians, to believers, reminding us about our role in the kingdom, about who we are in the kingdom, what is the principles of the kingdom, who is the one that is the king of the kingdom. We will talk about the laws of the kingdom. And here, when we look at the Beatitudes, as we begin this passage in chapter 5, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who meek, all these incredible biblical principles. And at the very end, pops out this scripture. To sum up these five verses, you are the salt of the earth. And many times when I say that, you are the salt of the earth. Many of us, our minds are already going. Flavor. I like to cook at home. So I have to have this wonderful ingredient. It changed the flavor of the food. But it also, we think of preservative. That salt preserve food and meat. In the olden days, they don't have a refrigerator. So salt is a very important commodity. So what then is salt? What is salt? I want us to look at the Gospel of Luke and see what Jesus also speaks of being a salt of the earth. And he says here, therefore salt is good. But if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless, either for, listen here very carefully, it is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, when we look at the ancient world, as Matthew was writing this, the Dead Sea is made out of 28% salt. And so what they did, they would scrap all the salt. And so when the sun dries up, people will come and gather the salt and sell it. And this salt, they're not pure salt or sodium chloride. So many pharmacists and chemistry people here. But the salt that they use are a mixture of other salt, and including sodium, the one that we use in the kitchen. Now, one of the main purpose of this is that in those days, that in Jesus' day, there were Jesus speak into real life situation. Now, the Palestinians at that time, they used salt for farming. I was asking our expert in farmer here, Shell, about the type of fertilizers they use in, so you can correct me after the service. So the more I read this, I become excited and challenged also. So if you are a farmer, there are three types of fertilizers you will use. One is phosphate, yeah, that helps to develop the roots. And then you talk about the nitrates, that helps develop the leaves, and potassium or potash that develops the flowers and the fruits. So this balanced fertilizer, it's very important in a growth in any farming. So most of the farmers, they would bring these things, bring the salt, and what they use also, excuse me for this word, the manure, yeah? You know the word manure, yes. So we gather manure, and you see it in Norway, you know, when they spread out this wonderful flavor.
In just a couple of weeks?
It's a smell of money. That's what they say. It's a smell of money. Yeah, so they use manure
grow
as fertilizers. Now, and then we talked about manure. And so we have this purpose of salt that serves as an anti whatever dung or product that's not supposed to grow. It helps stop and hinder the bad things from spreading and from growing. But it also nurtures what needs to grow so it can grow and bear its fruit. So these two things have negative in terms of suppressing what is not supposed to grow and encourage the growth. And this is a vivid picture of us as Christian being salt and light. apart from being called to do and to speak, our very existence to be salt and light has impact to our surrounding. Amen? And the salt, that's what it does. So we see here Jesus using ordinary life situation when he speaks of these things. Say, you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? There are potential that salt, sodium chloride, could lose, even though it's a powerful component, but it could lose its impact. It's very strong and it can stand against and resist other things, but it also can lose its effect. And how does that happen? By being contaminated, being mixed together with other things, and it would lose its impact. And then when you see a salt that is lying there, it looks like salt. It is called a salt, but it's a salt that is purposeless, a salt that has lost its effectiveness, that is said that it's rather be thrown to the ground to be trampled by men. This profound, amazing picture of salt that Jesus is encouraging us as believers, as Christians, reminding us, his word reminds us that you are the salt of the earth. Your purpose here is making impact to your surrounding. It is not a forceful impact. It is not a impact and we use those we are reaching to promote ourselves or what we can do or our religion, but is an impact of the kingdom that we preserve the good within society and our presence, the presence of salt in the community hinders the growth of evil. I remember a few years ago, number of years ago, a few friends from Bible school, when we were in Portland, Oregon, we decided that we are going to move in one of the toughest, dangerous neighborhoods in the urban areas and work from there. People tell us, you guys are crazy. There is war going on, gang-related war. There's drugs. The whole community is infiltrated with just badness. So we've been praying, we pray, and then a friend of ours say, you know, there is a house that used to be a drug house, and now the authorities shut it down, and the bank took it. They've given it to a small, tiny church, and this is the church they always talk about. And for them to, if they want to use it, they can use it. Maybe you can talk to the church. So we went to the church and gave them a vision. One of our vision was to move and relocate. Everybody's moving out of this community. Everybody's going out because it's too dangerous. And only those who cannot afford to move out remain. So we thought we're going to move in when everybody's move out and do ministry there. And that's exactly what we did. We arrived there. We talked to the leaders of the church. There's only a few people there. And they said, yeah, sure, you guys can use that house. Use it. And you only pay $80 a month. Don't worry about it. So it's a huge colonial house with 8 bedrooms. So we went in there. We cleaned it up. And then we started a ministry called Porter's Clay. So what do? We go to the neighborhood and we knock on the door, and you couldn't believe, you know, the kind of people that opened those doors. And one of our guys, he was freaking out to go out in the neighborhood and knock on these doors, because you never know what you will encounter. And we just see another, yes, what do you want? We are running a children's after-school program at the Berean Baptist Church. That's our neighbor. And we would like your kids to come. Oh, okay. Sometimes we go into this neighborhood. People are high, you know, with drugs and or alcohol or anything. But they would release us, the children, because, oh, that's good. Now you can have the kids. We'll have time for ourselves. So there's a lot of bad things happening there. In other words, the community was deteriorating. And that's one of the things about the salt that is sustained and preserved from rottenness and decay. And when God challenges us to be salt of the earth, that is our role, that we preserve the decay of our community and our society. So anyways, we went there, so we start bringing kids. We start with 7 kids. And in 1 year, about 12th month of our doing that, we had nearly 200 kids in our after-school program. And I tell you what, that was way back in the early 90s. Oh, yeah, late 90s. I am still involved with these kids today, you know. They've graduated from university. These are those that society said they will go nowhere, who comes from broken families, who comes from a dysfunctional background, and they are making it. So it goes on for years, the Potter's Clay program. When I thought of being a salt, I thought of that. I never thought of that. For us, it was just a ministry. But for us today, that is the thing about being a salt, is that you are part of influencing your society, your very existence as a salt. And my wife was telling me today that in the olden days here in Norway, there is a tradition or a practice in order to remove or cast out evil spirits. They would take salt in, you know, if you're walking at night, they would throw salt behind them, so the demon won't follow you home. There is a significance of salt. And salt is a powerful, powerful lesson for us to learn. That Jesus didn't just, he could have talked about other compound, but he said, you are the salt of the earth. You are. Do not lose your saltiness. That's the encouragement for us. You see, a salt that remains in a box is not useful. Amen? So if you keep the salt for a long time, it could lose its saltiness. But the salt that comes in contact with the soil, the salt that comes in contact with where it's supposed to be, it will have its impact. So there is the distribution of salt. It needs to be distributed. And then we also have the quality of salt. Like I said before, that salt could lose its saltiness. The quality of salt speaks of our effectiveness, our connection with each other to God. Amen? That we are connected to God, the giver, the one who empowers us as Christians. The question is, am I making an impact in my life, in the way I live, or is the world changing me? Am I becoming more like the world, or am I making an impact here? You are the salt of the earth. And also he says that you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Now, in the older days, they have this clay lamp. They put oil on it and probably a little wick. And what he's saying, you don't put that light under the bed. Yeah, it serves no purpose. Not only that, light needs oxygen to light, yeah? So if you put it under there, no oxygen, the light will snuff out. And that is about our lives. That we connect to the source of life. Amen? And our lives, we don't need to make it. Our lives, we live, we go, we breathe. Wherever we go, when we are connected to the light of the world, our light, people come and ask questions. You know, the world is attracted to this community right here because they see us. They see an answer to their need in your life and in my life. Amen? Amen. That's the light. The light on the hill. You see, let me just say this. I've said this before. Darkness cannot create light. It cannot create light. In Isaiah chapter 9, and also in Matthew chapter 4, it speaks of the prophetic declaration of Isaiah 9, and Jesus fulfilling that prophecy in his ministry in Galilee. He says that those who dwell in darkness have seen a great light. Yeah? And those who dwell in the shadow of the living, of the shadow of death, hope, light has come. You see, darkness cannot create that. Everyone who tried to create their own hope within the confinement of their darkness will confine themselves more in their own darkness. Light has to come from another source. It has to come from somewhere else. And that, speaking of Jesus, the light of the world, he came and he illuminated darkness. Amen? And he said, you are the light of the world. And he's speaking to believers. You are the light of the world. My light is in you. Shine. If we are not connected to the source of life, of light, this flickering light that we have, there is a potential that it could be consumed by greater darkness. I like this song. My son was trying to play it the other day. Actually, I heard my son whistling in the car. Was that you? Son, whistle again? It was perfect. It was whistling as an adult, but he was whistling a song, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Blinke, blinke, Sterne, Lies. How I wonder what you are. Amen? When we look at the galaxy full of darkness and you see these spots of light, I wonder what the world is asking us. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. I will leave it there. There's a lot for us to think about. But I want to encourage us as a church. Take this. Process this. I say, Lord, I want to be that salt. I want to be that light. I don't want my salt to, I don't want to lose my saltiness. No, maybe I failed here. Maybe I failed here. But I come back to you. Just like we sing, we heard in the song, the words of the song, draw me close to you. And that could be your prayer this morning. As we close, that Lord, I want to be salty. You know, I'm looking forward to coach again. I'll be coaching. And I love that. Not because I love rugby, but I love the people that we are coaching. I like to pray for them at home. I like to speak and encourage them, not only in sports or what they can do better, but that they can overcome their obstacles. What about you and I? How about our family? How about us as husband and fathers? How about our wives? What light are we impacting our children, the little ones? Remember this song, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. How I wonder what you are. Who is that light? Who is that person? What's his name? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. What is so attractive about this person? There's something about their lives or her life or his life or that person's life that draws me to him And that is us as the church. That is the purpose of God for us as believers. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for your grace and your mercy over us. Thank you that you are the source of light. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We thank you for giving us a chance to be part of your kingdom. Thank you for your saving grace for us. Thank you for your mercy over us. And as a church, we come before you. We thank you for your words of encouragement to us, that not only you are asking us, but you are declaring to us that we are the light. We are the salt. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.